Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Thomas Henry, and today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today I have another interesting topic I want to talk about today, and it simply asks the question, what is good preaching? What is good preaching? I find out that in the church world today, we have a lot of people who do not understand what good preaching really is and what it actually entails. They think good preaching only means hooping. They think good preaching does not go beyond a good hoop. You have to flip the church upside down, right side up, all kind of ways for it to be good preaching. Yet we have preached to people, but we have preached to people messages that have not been edifying, have not been there to build up the church with, and so we have caused them to come, and they leave the same way they came because we have not understood the concept of what is good preaching. This year at the COAB Annual Congress in Atlanta, Georgia, we will deal with preaching in our second general session. In our second general session, there will be a class on homiletics, the art of preaching. You know, being in the Deep South like I am, you hear some crazy stuff in church. I've seen some of it on Facebook. You see some crazy stuff, you hear some crazy stuff in church. People who don't have really a good understanding of the Bible, of their preaching, and they're making a mess of the Word of God. You may not believe it, but they are making a real mess of the Word of God. And the Word of God is a tool for us. A strong, powerful tool for us, but you see a lot of preachers making a mess of the Word of God. Their sermon is filled with all the theatrics, and nothing wrong with that if you give somebody some word. But most of the time, you have preachers who are preaching, but they don't give people any word. They don't give people anything, any meat, any word to live by. For the Bible says in Deuteronomy, and Jesus repeats it in Matthew and in the Gospels. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding, every word that is flowing out of the mouth of God. And so to have good preaching, you must understand what preaching is. And I think that's what is a major issue among a lot of us, because we don't understand preaching. We don't understand that preaching is about communication. We're not just talking to the people we are preaching to, but we're in a dialogue. We're trying to communicate with them. We want them to hear us and listen to what we got to say. For the Bible repeatedly says, some over 10 times the Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto churches. And that means that word ear, because all of us, if you look around, majority of the humans in this world have two ears on their head. So he's literally not talking about the natural ears. He's literally saying, if you have a listening ear, then you need to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. That tells you that everybody in church that hear you, they really don't, watch this, hear you. That's why Jesus told the parable about the man sowed on good ground, some sowed on thorny ground, some was sown among a hard, shallow ground and all of that. And Jesus talked about that out of the four types of ground, only 25% of the people in the church ever really hear what you got to say. Just like even as I do these broadcasts from time to time, and I've talked about some different issues, some of everything in this broadcast, from deacons and deaconesses. I talked about bishops and apostles. I talked about the support ministry versus the teaching governmental ministry. I told people how bishops and pastors and teachers are one and the same in the scripture. But yet and still, if you don't study the Bible, you'll never see some of this. If you don't study the Bible the right way, you'll miss this. So what is preaching? Preaching is a participle of the word preach. Preach means to deliver a sermon or a religious address to an assembled group of people, typically in church. It also means to publicly proclaim or teach a religious message or belief. Preaching is about communicating divine truth to your people. Preaching is the most important calling on earth. Preaching, proclaiming the truth of God's holy word. What is the goal of preaching? To convict and convince that thereby leading to a transforming experience in the person's life, transformation. So if your preaching does not produce transformation, it's not good preaching. I said again, if your preaching does not produce transformation, it is not good preaching. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions in the Bible, not in the Bible, so to speak, but misconceptions in the church about the Bible. Because there are a lot of people that think that Jesus said that one cannot use manuscripts when they preach. And you got some people say, oh, you don't need to use that. That's a cold word. Holy Ghost ain't in that word right there. But they look at the Bible. When Jesus said to his disciples, when he sent them out two by two, he told them, don't think no thought of what you're going to eat, drink, and say, and all this other stuff. And they're going door to door. They're going door to door witnessing, ministering from door to door. They're not preaching in the church context, in the assembly context. So Jesus says something in the Bible that many, many, many old school preachers and many of your Pentecostal brothers and back in the days and holiness brothers back in the days, they misconstrued this text and misinterpreted this text and took this text out of context. Jesus said, take no script with you. The word script there is a bag. It's a bag. It is not talking about a manuscript. It's talking about a bag. They were not supposed to be taking, changing clothes and all that other stuff. Go there because you're going to preach and you're going to, you're going to witness and you're going to talk and you're going to minister. So if they don't accept you in this house, shake the dust off and you keep on going to the next house. And so the Bible is not against manuscripts. The Bible is not against manuscripts. Now, we got some crazy people out there today who are against manuscripts. And they are, and you can listen to them preach. And many, there's nothing wrong with not preaching from manuscripts. Let me get that. Make sure I say that right. There's nothing wrong with not preaching from manuscripts. But if somebody preaches from a manuscript, it does not mean that the Holy Ghost is not using them. You can't show me that in Scripture nowhere where it says that the Holy Ghost is not using a person because they are using a manuscript. Some of the best sermons in history, many of the best sermons in history that we have recorded was sermons that was written down. I believe it was Jonathan Edwards. I believe I got the right man who preached that sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that sermon woke up the church at that particular time. Here we go. So the Bible is not against manuscripts. Is the Bible against knowing and researching the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the original languages of the Bible? Because some people make it seem like that God is against all of that. That God is against all of that. All of that. That God is against it. Now, the Bible says in the book of Timothy to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That particular text in and of itself tells us that God is not against going back to the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic to understand, or even the history, to understand what is being said and how to apply it to today's life. Because you got to understand, the Bible is a book written over a 1,600-year period. Now, if that's the case, then you got to understand that what they did in Jesus' day, we don't necessarily do, even though we have the same sins, all that, but people did things a little differently than we do now. So then, in order to understand the Bible, You must actually go back and understand how they saw it then so that you can be able to apply it to right now. Are you following me? So the Bible's not, because he said study to show yourself approved to God. A workman need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's so much in that particular verse I just quoted, and I'm looking for a few of my notes here, because he says the Greek word there for workman is argotes. It is translated a workman for labor, one who works for hire. It can also mean a perpetrator. So we got people that if you're not correctly interpreting the word of God, if you're not correctly studying the word of God, you become a perpetrator of the word of God. We got a lot of people out there perpetrating. They don't know the Bible. They don't know what they're trying to preach. They haven't really studied. They haven't even took time to study during the week. They have not took time to study and develop a message. They get there on Saturday nights and they start preaching. And they assume that God's going to be with them on that particular day. They assume that God's going to be with them and give them what they need and all of that. And so we got too many people in the church today. They are perpetrating. They are perpetrating in the church. They are perpetrating. They are perpetrating. They're not skilled at what they do. They're not skilled in the word of God. They're not skilled in preaching the word of God. They are perpetrating. You know, we have a lot of people like that. They're not skilled laborers. They don't do what it takes to be a skilled laborer. They become a perpetrator. They become people who are not skilled, people who can't be trusted to rightly divide the word of truth. And we have people like that in the church today. Y'all excuse my little dog barking in the background. But we got people like that in the church today. They are perpetrators. They're not skilled. They don't study. They don't take the time to get to search the scriptures, to seek the face of God, to get a good word from God. They are perpetrators. They are perpetrators of the word of God. We got people who fight people because of their education. They fight people because they went to school and they got trained. We got people who went to school to fight those who are skilled in the word who have not even went to school. And so the Bible is not against studying. It said to study to show yourself approved to God. A workman need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The word divide has the idea of cutting something open, examining it, researching it, digging into it. Because some of y'all, you're so used to going to churches where they got surface knowledge. You're not used to the deep things of God. And so you go to churches that all they do is give you that stuff off the surface, dig deep in the word of God to give you stuff based on what God is actually trying to teach. So we got people who they don't rightly divide the word of truth. They give you shallow teaching. But the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, argotes, a workman, a laborer, somebody who's skilled in what he's doing. If you're not skilled, the opposite of being a skilled laborer is a perpetrator, hypocrite. Somebody think they got the truth, but you will have nothing. But rightly dividing, rightly cutting that word apart, rightly discerning that word, rightly studying that word, researching the scripture, getting into the scripture, trying to see what it says, instead of just looking at it and just saying, oh, it said Daniel was in the lion's den, but understand what got him into the lion's den and how he actually got out of the lion's den and why did God show up for him and how does that apply to my life today? Who major in exegeting the text instead of exegeting the text. When you exegete the text, you take your opinion that you have, your preconceived opinion that you have, and you approach the word of God, and then you make the word of God mean what you think it ought to mean. But see, when you exegete the text, you come to the text, and you look at the text and see how does the text speak to what I have an opinion on. And that's what happened. We have a lot of people who come to the text. They come to the text with their own preconceived opinions, and they force their opinion. They force stuff on the Bible that's not even there. One of the big words that I've been talking about a lot lately is anachronism, where we take something that belongs to our time here in 2015 and try to force it upon the Bible, a first-century Christian, and force it upon Moses, and force it upon Daniel, and force it upon all those characters in the Bible. And you can't take something from our time and force it on that time. What you got to do is go to that time and see how that time speaks to our time. Are you following me here on today? And so this is why exegeting the text is so important. This is why studying the Bible is so important. This is why researching the text is so important. This is why studying the Bible is so important. I know this is a little bit out of a line in how I got the little points I wanted to discuss, but this is a good time to bring it in. There are a lot of people say, you ain't got to study, you ain't got to write down all this stuff, because the Holy Ghost, according to the Bible, will bring it back to your remembrance. But can I serve you notice, and I say this a lot to people that I cover in the Apostolic Communion of Churches, how can the Holy Ghost bring something back to your remembrance when you didn't put nothing there to begin with? I'll say it again. How can the Holy Ghost bring something back to your remembrance when you didn't study and put something there to begin with? You got people trying to preach and ain't studied. People trying to preach and ain't prayed. People trying to preach and have not prepared a message yet. But you expect God to be with you. You expect God to give you a word. You expect God to use you, but you ain't prepared. You have not prepared to properly give a word to the people of God. Preaching, can the scripture really interpret scripture? Yes. Yes. Because you got to understand that as the Bible was written over this period of 1600 years by 43 different people writing this book, that each one of them, many of them who was not even contemporaries with the other, they wrote letters without disagreeing with the other person. Contrary to what you may be taught by some of these liberal scholars out there, the Bible does not contradict itself. But this over 600 year period, God writes this Bible using mankind as his pen, and he writes a Bible that does not contradict itself. And so then, one of the principles when you study the Bible is called first mention principle. That means you see something mentioned in the gospel, then you need to go back in the Bible and find where it's first mentioned at first. And then that lets you know how to interpret that passage that you have in the New Testament. For example, we do not see in the New Testament what the prophetic office defined. So in order to understand the prophetic office in the New Testament, you must go to where it is first mentioned at. And we see, and many people try to divide this into three kind of prophets, say that there's a seer prophet, and there is a watchman prophet, and I can't remember what third one that is. Maybe I think it's seer prophet and watchman, whatever it is. But you got to understand, those three things are not three different prophets. They're all one, because the Bible says seer, the prophets was called seers before they was called prophets. And so you can go to the Old Testament and look. And some people try to say, well, we're in the New Testament, and we don't have that same grace they have, and so you can miss in the New Testament. Well, in the Old Testament, prophets couldn't miss. We don't see in the New Testament the prophetic office completely defined. So in order to understand it, you go back to the Old Testament where the prophetic office is first mentioned. And when you see where it's first mentioned, God says about prophets that prophets are not allowed to miss. If they miss, that means their word is not from God. The second thing God says about a prophet is that if they get the prophecy right, but if their teaching is wrong, they're still a false prophet. So that's why it is so important and so imperative that you study the word of God, that you rightly divide the word. That's why the Bible says, the Bible just said divide the word of truth. It said rightly divide it, because there are a lot of people interpreting the scripture, but they are not, watch this, rightly interpreting the scripture. How can you interpret something you don't even know anything about? It's like trying to tell somebody about God because mom and them told you. It's one thing to know about God, but it's another thing to know God. Hallelujah be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Who am I? Feel my Cheerios right about now. Is preaching an art or is all anointing? How about preaching can be both? It should be both. Because watch this. If you look at preachers, none of us all, you can be trained by some of the great preachers to exegete the text, to preach the word, to present the word, but you still have your own style, your own craft in how you present the word of God. So that means preaching is part art and it's also anointing. There are a lot of people that are not called to preach. They're not even called to teach. Some of them will put you slam to sleep. Lord, I made up a word there. They ain't got no anointing, no power, no fire. So preaching is an art. And not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody's called to teach. Remember, there's many that were sent, and there were some who just went. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I'm not trying to cover everything I got inside my notes here, because I want to encourage some of you just with this teaching to come and check us out this year at the Congress of Apostles and Bishops. Come and meet some of these great men and women that we have gathered. We have quite a few people coming this year. The numbers are up. God is blessing, and you need to be there. I promise you, it's going to bless you. It's going to bless you. This is unique because a lot of people there have discounted us. They have wrote us off, but God has blessed us that we each year our numbers have been increasing. We got people this year from Europe coming. We got people from Kenya coming. We got people from Nigeria coming. We got people from South America coming. We got people from Florida coming, Georgia coming, South Carolina, North Carolina. We got Virginia represented. Good God, from Zion. We have Maryland represented. We have Ohio represented. We have several different groups of people from Texas coming. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We got Mississippi coming. We got Tennessee coming. We got a whole slew of people coming this year. You need to join us. Be a part of what God is doing this year at the Congress of Apostles and Bishops, because this is one of the subjects that we are talking about this year, which is preaching. Is hooping necessary? No, hooping is not necessary. Hooping is not necessary. I say it one more time. Hooping is not necessary. They told us in Bible college and seminary, they told us that every good piece of meat would make its own gravy. You don't force a hoop. If it's not your thing, then don't do it. See, there's a difference between closing and bringing a sermon to a conclusion and hooping. Not everybody is gifted to hoop, but everybody can bring their sermon to a conclusion, to a point of the application, and they can close it and have the people on their feet without hollering and hooping and all the theatrics, and God can move, the altar can be filled with people. So you got to learn what you're called to do. Yes, it's enjoyable to get entertained with a hoop every now and then. But if you have no word that precedes that hoop, then your hoop is empty. Your hoop lacks power. Your hoop lacks anointing. I'd rather hear a good sermon than an empty hoop. I'll say that one more again. I'd rather hear a good sermon than an empty hoop. I've seen preachers who jumped into a hoop and then said nothing. All they did was try to entertain people. All they did was try to move the people and got mad when the people didn't jump when they thought they ought to jump. If you said something, then maybe they'll move. If you said something, maybe they'll move. Preaching and studying is so important, my brothers and sisters, because when you correct it, when you study the word, you're able to rightly divide the text, to rightly cut the text open. Just like a skillful surgeon, you can cut it open. You can understand the cultural implication, the language implication of the text. You can understand the geographical implication of the text, the historical implication of the text. I am leery of preachers who get upset when you start bringing up history when you're trying to study the Bible. Like the Bible was written in 2015. No, it wasn't written in 2015. So I need history. I need history. I need to know what they live like, what kind of houses they live in. I need to know what they wore. I need to know if the text mentioned that they went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I need to know why it said that. I don't need you to over-spiritualize it and say, oh, if the man had not went down, oh, Lord, he would not have fell among the thieves. Then how would he have gotten home if he had never went from Jerusalem down to Jericho, because Jericho is 1,200 miles below 1,200 feet, excuse me, below sea level, which means that Jerusalem sits on a hill, Jericho is in a valley. That means I have to go down to go back home to Jericho from Jerusalem. But you know how people do. They don't understand the text. They don't understand the different portions of the text. They don't understand that some scripture is literal. Some scripture is topological. Some scripture is tropological. Some scripture is analogic. You got to understand all of that. But people don't, because they don't take the time to really learn the scripture. You got some people who are great preachers, but their lives are straight messy. And their lives is what destroys their preaching. And these are some people who tell too much of their testimony while they're preaching. I don't need to hear your testimony every time you get up and preach. I don't need to know what you did every time that God brought you out of every time you preach, because it may hinder how I hear what you say. Am I talking good in here on this line today, on this radio line? I hope so. I hope I'm blessing somebody. I hope I'm blessing somebody. I've been to funerals where I saw preachers make messes over the sermon. They preach hellfire and brimstone, old school holiness sermon. Now, understand when I say that. So I'm like, y'all going to hell today, because y'all think y'all still smoking and drinking and chilling. Now, I was taught a long time ago, you can't clean a fish that you haven't caught yet. So then before I can get them to stop drinking and smoking and cussing, I need to get them saved first. But you got a lot of preachers. They're backwards in this thing today. They don't do it right. They don't do it right. They don't have, and that's because they haven't been taught. Think the way they came up is right. But when you know better, you ought to do better. When you know better, you ought to do better. You got people today, and this is a point that really don't really deal, it kind of deal with preaching, and it don't deal with preaching. But I thought it was apropos to put it here today, because you got people who will fight over the canon of Scripture. Do you want an open canon? Do you want a closed canon? I think God has more to add to Scripture. Well, I'm a Gospel John person. John said that all the books could not contain everything that Jesus did. But I don't need everything that Jesus did. Do you understand me? I don't need everything Jesus did to be written out. Why? Because John, the Apostle John, answered this. The Apostle John said that what was written, oh, bless his name. John said these things was written so that you and I may believe. That's all I need. I'm not fighting over whether it's 66 or 72 or 76 or 82. All I'm concerned is about those core 66 books. You can have your 76 canon. You can have your 72 canon. You can have your 82 canon. It don't matter to me. What matters to me is that long as I get the portion that deals with salvation is through no other name but through the name of Jesus Christ, and that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God, good God from Zion, that at the foot of the cross of Calvary is where I found my salvation. At the foot of the cross of Calvary is where I can find healing. At the foot of the cross of Calvary is where I find my deliverance. Are you hearing me? That's why. Oh, bless his name. Eba Shatai. Oh, my. That's why good preaching is necessary. We fight over stuff. We get pharisaical and start fighting over stuff like canons, fighting over stuff like liturgies, fighting over this and fighting over that. Show me who you led to the foot of the cross. Show me who you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we got something to talk about. Fighting over whether the Eucharist is the real presence or is it symbolic. We fight over stuff that has no bearing on whether your soul is saved or not. My name is Bishop Thomas Henry. And for these past about 30 minutes, you have been listening to the Apostolic Voice. I want to invite you to go to our website, coaab.org, find out about the Congress. And if these messages have been a blessing to you, you ought to consider becoming a partner with us and donating to the work of the Congress. Do you realize your little bit that you sow will go a mighty long way to do a great work? Did it help us in the great work? Because we don't just educate bishops, but we have a mission statement where we help churches. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We do more than just talk to bishops and talk to leaders. We are trying to act like what Jesus told us to act like, to go in the hedges and highways and compel thy men and women to come unto Jesus. God bless you. Y'all have a great day.